If you haven't already voted, do me a favor. There's a new page on my website dedicated to various issues, controversies, and mysteries surrounding the background of Barack Obama. Browse through those issues before voting, please. There is something deeply disturbing about the personal history of the man we elected president 4 years ago, and you owe it to yourself and your country to become educated. The mainstream media pokes fun at people they call birthers, people who question the place of Barack Obama's birth. But there are more issues than just that one, lots more. The concern about Obama's background also encompasses his unsavory personal habits, his lifelong associations with anti-American radicals, the false narratives he's tried to pass off as factual, and the zealous efforts he makes to hide the truth about his past. Long story short, put the stuff we don't know alongside the stuff we do know, and it's a frightening combination. 4 years into his presidency, we still don't know his name for sure. He has at least four aliases. The guy we refer to as Barack Obama also went by Harrison J. Bonnell, right up until he was elected president. Don't ask me why. I can't explain it. I'm just reporting it. The alternate identity was accidentally discovered by a debt collector who noticed that Harrison J. Bonnell had the same address as Obama and used the same Social Security number. The president was raised in Indonesia as Barry Sutoro, we all know that, a name still used at Columbia University in the 1980s. He was listed on his mother's passport records at one point as Barry Sobarka, and some people argue the officially deceased Hawaii fugitive named Barry M. Shabazz was another alias. There might be more aliases. Who knows? How many names do you suppose George Washington used? With all the mocking that comes from liberals when the subject of Obama's birth certificate is raised, it's easy to forget that two birth certificates have been released so far, and both turned out to be forgeries. Don't roll your eyes and tune me out. This isn't wild right-wing conspiracy theory. This is fact. And you'd think it would be an important fact. The latest birth certificate was released by the White House on April 27, 2011, with comical fanfare, as though proving his eligibility for office 2.5 years after the election was a great concession on his part. It was supposed to put the issue to rest, but it didn't. Like with the forged National Guard memos that ended Dan Rather's career, it took digital document experts about 2 seconds to determine the White House birth certificate was a forgery. It wasn't merely a forgery, it was a clumsy, poorly done, obvious forgery. Not quite as bad as Dan Rather using a Microsoft Word font 30 years before it was invented, but close. Don't take my word for it. Sheriff Joe Arpaio down in Maricopa County, Arizona, assembled a team of experts and they officially declared the White House birth certificate a forgery on March 1st. And if you're not a fan of Sheriff Joe, you don't have to take his word for it either. In April, Obama's own lawyer was arguing a case in New Jersey about whether the president is eligible to be on the ballot, and she admitted, in court, that the White House document is a forgery and then argued that it doesn't matter. She said Obama has a right to be on the ballot anyway because he's so popular and because he's already the president. Sounds like one of those legal theories they invented at Harvard. By the way, Sheriff Joe's investigators also said the president's Selective Service card looked fraudulent. Meanwhile, the president can't explain, or won't explain is probably more accurate, why he uses a Connecticut Social Security number that previously belonged to a deceased man. In case you didn't know, the Social Security Administration does not reuse numbers when people die, so the president's Social Security number alone should result in police knocking on his door. It might be a tough arrest with all those Secret Service guys protecting him, but hey, nobody said being a cop was easy. Send John McClain. He'll do it. More frightening than all the false identities and documents are the radicals who surrounded and nurtured Obama's worldview from the time he was born right up until the president. Once you take a hard look at the communists, Muslims, and terrorists who served as parents, mentors, friends, and allies throughout his life, you'll understand why he hired so many communists to work in his administration. Why his staff placed a Mao ornament on the White House Christmas tree. Why he doesn't like Israel or Great Britain. Why so many Islamic radicals have been visiting the White House lately. And why his attorney general vacated the conviction of the new Black Panthers for standing outside a polling place with a club during the 2008 election. Those are his people, don't you see? After 20 years of being steeped in Reverend Wright's critical race theory, our president doesn't see anything wrong with threatening white people. That's just payback. Look at who Barack Obama hung with and you'll finally start comprehending who he is. It's little wonder so much of his identity is fictional. If you knew the truth, you wouldn't vote for him, and he knows it. That's today's dose of common sense.